Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Key points in our last study were all of us are to be studying the Word of God. Prayer and the Holy Spirit bring illumination and understanding as we study, and it takes time to learn. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So it is, as you study the Bible, sometimes you're not going to feel like you're getting anywhere. But it comes little by little, line upon line. And you stay with it. And surely you do learn, this is God's telling us, this is how it comes. We also consider there are just some things that God has not given us to know. So as you consider Bible study, I want to know this, this, and this. Some things he has kept for himself, for whatever reason. But we do know this. He has given to us what he deemed we need. And that he will not hold back when we study. And there's no end to it. As I consider this whole thing, the Bible and you, basically, it's every Sunday. It's every Sunday night. It's every Wednesday night. You cannot exhaust the Bible and you. So this study could go on and on. Obviously, it's got its limits. But ultimately, it's all the Bible and you. The Bible commands Bible study in his very words. And God promises anyone who truly seeks can find. He's not holding it back. Salvation is free. Whosoever. But spiritual truth, understanding truly of the Word of God, comes to those who diligently seek. That he doesn't give away cheaply. He wants us to dig into the Word of God, and then we find what I call, what many call, golden nuggets. But it takes a diligent search. Let us continue what we said last week. We considered Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her for silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, you got it? A whole lot of ifs. If you do this, if you diligently, if, then. God does not give away his golden nuggets cheaply. I'm telling you, they're worth the effort. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This idea of Bible study is not casual drive-by devotions. I understand that not every day we have got the time we would like to have to be with the Lord in prayer and Bible study, because we have daily responsibilities. And God knows that. But he also knows when we tried and when we didn't try. And if you only have a little bit of time, but you diligently try, God will bless. But neglect is our fault. Consider what was written in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is difficult to please him. I do that every time for emphasis. It doesn't say difficult, does it? It says it is downright impossible. It is impossible to please him without faith. Not difficult, it's impossible. For he that cometh to God first must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that casually seek him. Again, error included for emphasis. It doesn't say that. It's a diligent search, and he will reward you. So it is, Proverbs and Hebrews tell us to seek diligently. Diligently, to earnestly seek, to diligently seek, to sincerely seek. It means to seek out God, to diligently seek, to to find him and to follow him. God promises in his word that it will have a perfect work. If you study, you can claim the promise of God, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge. Dear God, I am trusting you and I am looking forward to you rewarding the time that I spend with you. And he promises his word. But I want you to notice, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Here we have two things. If you diligently search, you will understand the fear of the Lord, number one. And number two, you will find the knowledge of God in a diligent search. And I am convinced that many times we don't even truly know what we're looking for. How many of us truly can say, I understand what holiness is? We were dead in trespasses and sin. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And he saves our soul by his grace, by faith. And he says, okay, now I want you to live like Jesus. Okay, but you got to help me because I don't know what that's like. Let's be honest. We can sit here and we can come up with our own standards of what we think are holiness. And God many times is going to say, you don't get it. And so that's why when things come in our lives, we have to continue by faith and trusting in him. Lord, this makes no sense. To me, it wouldn't be working out this way. And he says, I know. Trust me. I want you to remember this. Mediocre Christianity was never designed to work. Halfway parachuting doesn't work. You either do it right or wrong. And God knows in our flesh, we do the best we can. And he will, little here, little there, precept upon precept, he will guide and direct. And he will show us. Fearing God and having knowledge of God will have a profound effect on a person. And the effects of Bible study is that the Bible has the ability to truly change a person. For example, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We may not visibly see that outward transition when somebody trusts Christ as their Savior and they were quickened. Dead in trespasses and sin. And the moment they believe, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The moment you believe, you're born again. And it says in verse 5 of Ephesians 2, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace you are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together. The moment you trusted Christ, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Such is the power of God. Now we may not feel that. And the truth is, the moment you trusted Christ, you probably had no idea. And then you start to read and study, precept upon precept, line upon line, and you start to realize, I have a spiritual wealth that this world will never know. And it makes the wealth of this world look sick. And we sit in heavenly places. And we don't even comprehend. But precept upon precept, line upon line, let God's word have its perfect work in your life. Well, yes, even you. Maybe some people are saying, I just don't feel like God is in my insignificant life. I mean, honestly, I was a poor student all my life, and I just don't get this stuff. You know what? Maybe you were a poor student. But now we're talking a whole new ballgame. We're talking about knowledge that God illuminates us through his Holy Spirit. And whosoever studies can be blessed and learn. This is not an academic subject. Some people, I think it would be, honestly, you could try to teach them higher level math every day, all day. They would never get it. They just weren't wired that way. But everybody that has trusted Christ as their Savior is wired that way, that if they truly seek God, they will find biblical understanding and truths that are divinely inspired. Some people, sadly, though, feel that, I know God's there, but in my case, they practice denying it. For whatever reason, they have this mental block. But I want you to consider this. Or maybe some of you are just lackadaisical, whatever. I want us to consider Jacob. Very briefly, in the Old Testament, he took his brother's birthright in a moment of weakness for a bowl of soup. He knew that was something I want. It was spiritual. Now, that's the wrong way to get it, is exploiting your brother. And then, to get the blessing, he was assisted by his mother, Rebekah, to deceive Isaac, his father, to take the very blessing from the brother he stole the birthright from. Now, obviously, Jacob had some kind of knowledge of God, but it was so trite. I can just trick my brother out of this. God doesn't care. Never even a consideration, but he knew he wanted a birthright, and he wanted a blessing. What does it matter if I lie to my dad? It doesn't matter. Well, that deception of lying to his father ended up in him fleeing for his life. And on that journey, greatly condensing the story, he went to Bethel. And there, let me quote, "Bethel was a bleak moorland in the heart of Canaan. The hillsides and level downs were strewn with huge boulders. As he, Jacob, fled northwards, he suddenly found himself overtaken by the swift eastern night while he was traversing this desolate moor. There was nothing for it but to lie down on the hard ground, taking one of the stones as a pillow for his head. As he slept, he dreamed, and in his dream, his mind wove together his last waking thoughts in fantastic medley. It seemed as if the big slabs of limestone came together and built themselves into a gigantic staircase, reaching from where he lay to the starry heights above. And on that staircase, angels came and went, peopling by their multitudes that most desolate region and evidently interested in the sleeper who lay beneath." He had this incredible dream. There was a ladder to heaven. Continue. "Let us think of that mystic ladder, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, by which he descended to our humanity and ascended to the throne of God. He is the way by which the sons of ignorance and night can pass upward to the eternal light and love. Where are you? It may be on a moorland waste, in a ship's cabin, a settler's hut, in a humble cottage, in the crowded city, lying on a bed of pain in a hospital ward. Wherever you are, Jesus finds you out and comes just where you are. The one pole of the ladder is the gold of his deity, the other the silver of his manhood, which is placed against your life." Jacob said, take a look in Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Jacob awakened out of his sleep and he said, ready? "Surely the Lord is in this place. I knew it not." I want you to come to grips with you are daily in the very presence of God Almighty. And how many times like Jacob, well, I know I want that birthright. I know I want that blessing. But he never really appreciated the magnitude of the presence of God. Let us read. "I knew it not," verse 17, "and he was afraid." When you truly come to grips with the reality that you are in the presence of God, you have a very real appreciation of fear. There truly is a God in heaven, and I am truly in his presence, and he is truly very concerned with my life. And one day we will all give an account to that God. "And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven in the middle of Bethel," where he had to use a rock for a pillow. Where are you? Where are you? I want you to know this. God's there. And when you study the Bible, he promises to illuminate you. Diligently search. If God was with Jacob in a desolate place, he is surely with us wherever we may be. Change. You know what the effects of the Bible is? Bottom line, change. He changes people. He takes people who are dead in trespasses and sin and transforms them into a child of God. And once that happens, he then wants to take that sinner with all the baggage that he brought into his Christian life, and he wants to make him to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For whom he, God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate." What, for salvation? No. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Predestination is not, well, I pick you to go to heaven and you go to hell and you go to heaven and you go to hell. No. He predestines us to be conformed to the image of his Son once we have trusted Christ as our Savior. Please don't ever get that confused. But that spiritual change, that process of taking a sinner, born again, saved by the grace of God, now is conformed by Bible study, by application. True change comes from renewed thinking. Oh, that we could get this. This is why we study. Did you know study, by definition, alters your thinking? Get it? When you study, whether it's math, English, history, geography, whatever, it alters your thinking. When you study the Bible, it's to alter your thinking, to start to see this world as God sees this world and all therein. Renewed thinking. Romans 12, 2. Christian, don't be conformed to this world. Rather, be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Your thinking. Where do your thinking come from? From study and application. Thus, the true spiritual change is not outward compliance to rules and standards. Rather, it is a change in the renewing of the believer's thoughts and convictions, because when those are established, your behavior follows. We don't have a set of moral rules in this church. It's not taught in the Bible. It is taught to be spiritual, and when you get spiritual thinking, your behavior changes. You are renewed in the spirit of your mind. God does not want moral people. He wants spiritual people. And there is a vast difference. Remember our key verse. Then, Proverbs 2:5, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When you diligently search and cry out and seek, God says, then you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Let's quickly consider the fear of the Lord. It is the beginning. Where do you start your spiritual growth? Well, of course, with salvation. But then, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Quote, this fear or religious reverence is said to be the beginning of knowledge, the principle, the first moving influence begotten in a tender conscience by the Spirit of God. No man can ever become truly wise who does not begin with God, the fountain of knowledge, and please listen, and he whose mind is influenced by the fear and love of God will learn more in a month than others will in a year. Do you fear God with a reverence? This is not a slavish fear that's afraid of the whip. Albeit God does chasten his children. But this is not how he wants us to fear. That fear is a reverential fear. You are my Father. You are holy, and I don't want to disappoint you. It is a reverence that brings holiness and humility. Dreadful. Dear God. And when you truly appreciate this humiliating condition, if you will, of the fear of God and his mercy towards us, oh God, what a good God you are. How could you love a sinner like me? And it brings a closeness that this world will never understand. So it is proper fear of God is grants a closeness to God. This is essential. Take a look at Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Do you fear him? This is the beginning. The Son was told to diligently search. You will find the fear of God and you will understand knowledge of God. First, we're looking at this fear. Son, if you fear him, you will be in a secret place. And I am convinced most Christians never find that secret place. It's very sad. It's very real. A secret place, a secret relationship that you can only explain by divine power. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He'll show them his covenant. He will reveal truth. And this is what's fun when you're studying your Bible. And many times, you know what's important to study? Meditate. Walk away and think about it. Go for a walk. Sit on your back deck. Do something. And take in what you have studied. It's like a digestion. Let the Holy Spirit just work. And then things start to fall into place. Like, I get it. I get it. And you know God's speaking to you. I get it. And sometimes he withholds things for a time to see if you will continue to diligently search. And you search, and he will bless. A secret place, intimacy, consultation, a secret, inward. A special relationship. Quote, broad is the love of Christ as the whole world. Deep as our deepest need. It is high as our highest aspiration and as long as the enduring of eternity. Yet was the secret of the Lord with them that feared him. He had his intimates and special confidants. There were certain men and certain women to whom he revealed the treasures of his heart. Folks, you want to be part of that? Find that secret place of true reverence. When you find God through the fear of God, you start, that's what it says, it's the beginning of wisdom. It's only the beginning. Fearing God is the beginning, but that's where it must start. Well, I don't want to start there. Well, too bad. You got to start there. Remember Jacob. He truly failed to appreciate the God that he knew about. I'll just exploit my brother, take advantage of the situation. I'm going to trick my dad. And God took him and got a hold of him and said, I'm a whole lot closer and I know a whole lot more than you think I know. And he was afraid. When you truly come to grips with your heavenly Father, you have a reverential fear. Not one of terror where you're afraid to be in his presence, but rather you want to be in his presence, but you don't want to do anything wrong. Jacob was a renewed man. It caused him to fear. If you truly see God for who he is, you will have a reverent fear of him. And that's the beginning. And that is the beginning where God can bring to you a special closeness in the secret place. And so it is. Fear is the beginning of knowledge. Well, let's go to the part of that, back to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Then thou shalt, number one, understand the fear of the Lord. Number two, find the knowledge. This idea of finding knowledge is inexhaustible. I don't think I'm going to finish it in the next 10 minutes. It is now a lifetime study. And I believe into the ages to come, God is going to show us more and more and more and more and more. But he's going to start here with precept upon precept, line upon line. Little here, little there. And he's going to start to build in your mind great truths. It begins with reverential fear. Then as we study the Bible, we can come to the knowledge of God. I am going to give you 10 this morning, very quickly. Because the truth is, if I wanted to give them all, I would have to read from Genesis to Revelation, and we don't have time for that. Let me just give you the knowledge of God. Ready? Number one, the Bible makes one wise unto salvation. Timothy 3, verse 15, that from the child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Okay, the Bible has the power to do that. Number two, the Bible keeps one from evil and grave errors in life. The Bible has that power. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 and 24. For the commandment the Word of God, is a lamp, and the law, the Word of God, is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Citing a specific situation, but the truth is, when you study the Word of God, it will help you to avoid and make stupid decisions and protect you from doing dumb things. Number three, the Bible gives success in doing God's will. First of all, we don't even know what God's will is when we get saved. You start serving, and the key to finding God's will is do the obvious. Go to church. Are you a father? Be a good father. Are you a wife? Be a good wife. Are you a dad? Be a good dad. Are you an employee? Be a good employee. Are you a student? Be a godly student. Are you a citizen? Be a good citizen. Start with the obvious. And as you do that, God will start to reveal strengths and weaknesses, such as spiritual gifts. And then you start to see God develop, and little here, little there, precept upon precept, and your life unfolds. And the Bible has the power to guide and direct our lives. Success in doing His will, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law, the Bible, if you will, that they had in that day, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there, and let your mind be saturated with the Word of God, therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success in the will of God. It didn't say, now Joshua, you study on how to develop your soldiers, and you study to sharpen their swords and how to improve their tactics in warfare. He said, no. The most important thing we have in this life is spirituality. End of subject. How did Joshua have success in conquering 31 kings in the promised land? He was faithful to God. Number four, the Bible teaches and instructs in spirituality. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for. This is what it benefits. This is its effects. Ready? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God that reads and studies may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible has that power. The Bible has the power to guide you in daily living. Psalms 119:105. Thy word, the Bible, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It guides you in daily living if you will only let it. Number six, the Bible gives wisdom in decision-making. Psalm 119:24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. What am I going to do now? Think about the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will guide you in decision-making. The Bible gives nourishment. It's the food for spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, giving us a very graphic picture. A baby wants milk, and that milk brings great growth. But there comes a point, the baby doesn't want milk all the time. It gets into meat. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. So we begin with milk. We ought to sincerely seek it and cry for it. And then it grows us up in the Lord until we are eating spiritual meat. Precept upon precept, line upon line, little here, little there. The Bible convicts. Number eight, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible cuts us to the very depths of our soul, our thinking, and it goes deep and it can convict. Ooh, that's not good. Either hopefully you wake up to that before you do whatever it is, or at least afterwards and you find out when it's too late. Yeah, I knew it. Number 9, the Bible can make people holy. John 17:17, Christ in his high priestly prayer prayed this, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word." The Bible is truth. And through that word, Bible says, I can make you holy. But if you don't study, you won't get it. And number 10, the Bible sets a person free. Oh, come on, that church has so many rules and regulations that it just ruins all my fun. No. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, seek diligently, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you miserable. Free! Free! Paul could sit in a Roman prison and write letters telling people to rejoice because he was free even in a Roman prison. Oh, the Word of God has such power to change. If only we would let it. And many, many more things we could go over. That the Bible has the power to, folks, as you immerse yourself in the Scripture and you let the Holy Spirit truly lead you and guide you and pray for God to illuminate you in the Scriptures, you really do start to see things differently. The more you immerse yourself in the Word of God and let it have its effect, it will change your thinking. You be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is true spirituality. Your mind, your thinking. And God wants you to study so that he can alter your thinking through the Holy Spirit. Our study so far has included the Bible. Our second study was more about the Bible. The third was the battle for the Bible. Then we shifted gears. We went now from the magnificence and glory of God and his word, and we talked about major themes in the Bible. Dispensations, the kingdom, the faithfulness of God, and in those were many, many sub-themes that we would see saturating the Scriptures. Now we have changed our study from studying the Bible. Today is the effects of studying the Bible. But I want you to consider something that I've talked about but I've not brought into the forefront here so much, and I want to in conclusion. As you think about the glory and the magnificence of God and his word, the great themes of Scripture, the power of studying the word and its ability to change, but I want you to get this. What we really have talked about today is potential. If you don't apply yourself, it doesn't have any effect. We're looking at the potential that's sitting there. But if we don't go home and apply ourselves, it's worthless. The Bible does have great potential, but how do you make it yours? Apply yourself. It is good you come to church. It is good you sit here and take in the messages. It is also good that you go home and meditate on them. It is good that you take something from the message and let it change you. The Bible and you. This is available to every soul.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.